Okay, very good afternoon. I'm Karthikeyan. It's loud enough for your mic? Okay. Thank you for at least even a few people who are presenting here. I'm very happy to share my stories with you. I'm Karthikeyan. What Varada told me, I've initiated a project called Srishti Village, mainly for the people with intellectual disability. Before we call them as a mentally retarded or the learning disability or many other terms we are using, the people with intellectual disability. Basically, their intelligent quotient is less than average. That's it. Nothing different among them. So I initiated a project called Srishti Village. The main objective is to establish an inclusive, self-sustaining and eco-friendly village where they can live, learn, work and generate income and have an independent life. But why I need to initiate this project? And I need to go back to my 15 years of life. I was in an orphanage. It is an inclusive orphanage for children with a disability and for the non-disabled children. From my childhood onwards, I was with them. And during the time, I realized children with a disability, they are facing many challenges in their life, especially starting from the schooling. So in my days, I got a chance to go to school, but they stayed at the orphanage itself. They are not got any chance to go to school, and the schools are not ready to accept them. And simply they rejected, they are not able to follow our curriculum, they are not sit at one place, they are hyperactive, they told many reasons not to accept them in the mainstream schooling. And once we finished the non-disabled children, our schooling and graduation, many of them, they got their job and then they reintegrated with the mainstream society. They left the orphanage, they started their own life. But for the children with a disability, they always staying in the orphanage. That motivated me to study psychology. And then after I studied my psychology, I became the director of the same orphanage where I grew up. Then I initiated the special schools and then it's vocational training centers. And my intention was how I can empower and then let them become independent, let them leave the orphanage and have their life. That was my inner vision. I started many ventures in the orphanage itself. But nothing succeeded. I initiated the special school. The special school can support until the 18 years. And after 18 years, there's nothing to do in their life. Again, the same home, same food, same people, depend for their basic need and living in the home. Then I thought I need to do something else. Then I initiated the vocational training center where they can learn create something like handicraft and bench stands and postcards, greeting cards and everything. And it worked very well. And also they started to make weaving the mat and whatever they can do in the orphanage, they started doing it. I thought this can helpful for their self-reliance or they can be helpful for get some salary in their life. But when I bring this product to the market, then other challenges started. It's not easy to market the product. And another challenge is, one thing, the people, how they pursued the material, many people who bought the product, not for the product, but they always telling, oh, if I purchase this product, it will be helpful for one disabled child. It's more charity play. It's okay, but I know how much energy they put to make one pen stand. Even I remember some of the days in the orphanage, one boy who is very much interested to make a small pen stand. It's a foldable cardboard pen stand. And he start to make from the morning and finish maybe whole day he make. And when I called for lunch and say, brother, wait, I want to finish it. So he's put all his energy, he spent all his time to make one pen stand. When I bring this pen stand to the market, but the people simply mentioning, if I buy this product, it will help the disabled child. So they are not really purchasing the product for the product, but for the charity. So I hate that actually, and then I thought this is not helpful. And second thing, the money which we are raising through selling those products, it doesn't help much. And maybe they are engaged in work, that's it. The money never helped in their life. And additionally, it was a limited premises. They don't have any chance to go outside and find anything else. Again, the same confined area and making some product. And not everyone who are interested in making this. So many challenges. I thought, need to find some jobs outside, so at least they can integrate it with the mainstream society, they find their job. Then I searched some other job. I approached many organizations like mechanical shop or in the shops nearby in the orphanage. And some people, they said directly, no, we don't take the people with mental disability. It's difficult to work with them. Some people said, if they are trying, we can ready to give a job to them. So I believe I trusted the words, and then they said, okay, and the other challenges started, where these people can get trained. And then during that time, there was no school, no training center for the adult. And luckily, I found one organization run by Government of India. It's called the VRCH, Vocational Rehabilitation Center for Handicapped. But they are running the organization for the other disability, physical disability, or blind, or deaf, not for the mental disability. But somehow we requested the organization, they gave an opportunity, and five of my boys who got enrolled in the training program, and it started from 1 year to 2 years training program. And after the training program, they trained in plumbing, they trained in electrical work, and they trained in the electronics, and then trained in the computer basic operation. And the first time in their life, they got the certificate. They finished something, they have something they hold, and something the people recognize. And I was very proud. Okay, something they have, before nothing had in their life, but now they have something. And with the same certificate, I went approached the some of the organization who promised if they trained, we give the job. I went with them with the certificate, trained people. Now they have their other excuses. No, we are working with the big missionaries with the electricity. It's a highly risk to give a job to a person with a mental disability. They are always finding the excuses, and it was very difficult for me. Again, everyone back to the home. And same thing happened again, the food, get up, having the food, watching television, and the whole life ended in the orphanage. And for me, it's very pathetic to see that. Then I said, I think it is not a right thing. And also I realized it's not only happening in the orphanage where I grew, but it's happening not only in Pondicherry, but it's happening in all over India. I got a chance to work for the Government of India as a state nodal agency director for one of the government projects. And through that, I travel all over India and get to know any wherever the organization working for this kind of disability. And I realized it's happening all over India, same thing. There is no changes. There are wonderful schools, wonderful training centers, vocational training centers are existing. But once they become an adult, there is nothing else. And the other biggest challenges are the fear for the parent. Whenever I meet the parents, they're always asking me, what will happen to my child after me? It's across India, they ask me again and again. Then this motivated me to study what are the jobs they can do well. Then I started to study, and I found many jobs. Very fortunately, I found farming one of the jobs they can do well. And I just want to check it, whether really they are interested in farming, they can do, whether they can do it in the farm. I got a small piece of land, it's a very small piece, and my idea is to create a kitchen garden to grow a vegetables for our orphanage kitchen. I chosen like 10, both girls and boys, all of them, they are 20 or 25 years adult with intellectual disability, with various levels of disability, along with some of the Dutch volunteers who joined in the year of 2011, who joined along with me to do the pilot study, whether it's working or not. And we got a small land, we cleaned it, we made a fence around. It's a group of people along with the people with the disability. And one day I got a seed, it was a vegetable seeds. One of the boy he asked me, I kept the seeds in my hand, it was a small vegetable seed. And he asked me, what is this? And I said, it's a seed. Whatever you see, it's a big tree, sorry, small plants, and everything grow from it, it is seed. And that time it was a big tree close to our the land, it is like a big mango tree, so such a gigantic tree. I just, for example, you can see this mango tree came out from the seed. And he looked at the big tree, and looked at me, and looked at the seed, and he was laughing. I did not believe that the trees can grow from the little seed. Mm-hmm. And that was my first challenge, to train them because they never had any experience in the farming. His name is Anbu. I said, Anbu, we can put it on the ground, watering on it every day, and see what's happening. And he did very properly in the way I trained him. And then after a few days, it was a spinach tree, seeds actually. He spread it on the land. And after a few days, I was working in my office, and he knocked the door, "Brother, brother, come, come, come." And he was running, I was running behind him, and he opened the door and he showed the two leaves coming out from the ground. And it's a spreader like a mat, actually, green mat. I was so happy, and I still remember his face, such a bright, and for him, he did something magic. Something happened on the land. He did a miracle. And after this incident, he locked the kitchen garden gate and kept the key inside his pocket and never allowed anybody inside the garden. He started to manage by himself. Even someone who stepped on the grass accidentally, and he said, "Don't step on it, it's alive." So that the seed showed him becoming a big opening for me, actually, to think in to see it in a different perspective. And second incident from the same kitchen garden. After 6 to 8 months, actually, they started to harvest. It was the first harvest, and basically some country vegetable, tomatoes and okra, some eggplant. And it was not a big quantity. It's a small basket of vegetables in there. And they harvested everything, and they brought to the kitchen. And kitchen is basically not allowed for any children to enter into the kitchen, just for the hygienic purpose. But they just opened the kitchen, and they went to the kitchen, and they were talking with the chief chef, and they said, "You cannot decide the menu what you need to cook today. And we have the rights to tell what you how to cook, because these vegetables harvested by us." And I saw the confident level. It's drastically improved in their life. I was working for many, many years to improve this confident level, but it happened in 6 months. I thought this is the right thing. And also from the whole 6 months, I observed actually how they started to involve in the activity, how much they enjoy in it. And after this 7-8 months, the language changed, and they started to talking about the monsoon. They started to talking about the sun direction, which direction the sun rises, and they started to pray for the rain. And the stress pattern changed, and they were very proud to say to the people, "I'm a gardener." The role changed. And until then, they were dependent for something. Now they contribute something back to the home where they grown up. Once they got their role, the whole picture changed. I think for me, that's the trick. If we don't have any role in our life, automatically with our dignity, our respect, everything, we lose. This is not only for the people with the disability, for everyone. That I realized. But if you have a role in your life, you'll get everything. That happened once they became a gardener. And after they became a gardener, everyone they are identifying in a different way. They're not anymore considering them as a home inmate or a home boy, but they're considering them as a gardener. And whenever the guest or the donors or everyone who visiting the orphanage, look at our gardener. And they're proud to introduce to them, "Oh, they are our gardener who are having their vegetable garden, they are working on the garden, they are a hard worker." You can watch the words, hard worker, gardener, and they feel very proud. These are the things that changed the whole life. And then I thought, this everyone needs. And I realized this cannot happen, everywhere. So we need to create some place, and also they cannot do it independently. They need some mentors, they need some supporters. This all incident made me to initiate a project called Srishti Village. With the dream, I purchased a land around 9 acres of land. It's around 35 kilometers away from Auroville towards Milam. It's a dry land, infertile land. I don't have much about the farming until the small garden I done. But with the big acre of land and no water in it, and for purchasing the land, it was a big challenge. I got a chance to learn social entrepreneurship in Kerala, run by one of the German organization, and they gave me a seed money. It was a $10,000 seed money which I got. With the $10,000, I was looking for a land, but the land value is incredibly expensive in Pondicherry. With the $10,000, you cannot get even a small piece of land. But that was the whole money which I had in 2013. But with the $10,000, I was looking for a land, at least for 5 to 10 acres of land I need if I want to establish a community. I dreamed about the self-sustaining community, so that I need at least a quite big land. Never I found, At one point, I decided, okay, I think it's the time to stop, to dream about this, and better to get a job to continue my life. Because the whole thing collapsed, I lost all my money, all my dream. Because I searched the land, I realized that my land value is so much expensive. Luckily, one day I got a call and the people said, we have a land, it's comparatively less price, and they said 1 acre of land is $10,000. I thought, okay, at least we can get 1 acre, we can initiate something. I went to the land and the land owner said, actually 1 acre, less than 1 acre, less than $10,000. I said, I'm very happy, okay, let's buy 1 acre. And he said, no, I want to sell the whole 9 acre of land. I don't want to give 1 acre of land to you. It's difficult for me to sell. If I sell it as 1 acre, it's difficult to sell 8 acres balance. I don't know where I got my hope, and I said, okay, you can keep this $10,000 as my initial payment, as an advance money. I will buy the whole 9 acres. I gave the whole money, and then I moved to that village, and again I had a very long beard, and now it's like cut, but before I had a long hair, and then the village looked at me very stranger. They are not ready to give any small room to start to my project. And they thought I'm going to start an ashram. I'm a spiritual person. So nobody was interested to give me a room. And finally, an old man, he decided to give a small room. And then I make it as a small office and then small kitchen in a small room. There I started my project. And I gave the advance money. We signed an agreement. And within the 4 months, I have to pay the balance money of nearly $60,000. That's it. Within the 4 months, $60,000 is, I know it's a challenging, but somehow I believed myself, I hope, I trust something will happen. I gave and I started to do the survey, how many disabled children were living in this area, and they did a door-to-door survey, and I found nearly 357 people and children with a disability in 47 villages. That's in a Milam block. It's surrounded with the 47 villages. And I realized there is no school, no rehabilitation centers. If they need anything, they have to travel from around 35 kilometers from the villages to Jipar Hospital. That is the nearest point. And it's a hospital. They are always looking at them as a disease or a treating. They don't have any rehabilitation services.
So this was again intellectually disabled?
Both actually, all kind of disability. Intellectually, 157 I found.
How did you sort of...
Door-to-door.
Just go and talk to the families?
Mostly I went to the... Palwadi, Anganwadi, there I went and then check. You know, they are very good actually. And in villages, it's easy to survey. When you ask something, immediately they give the information. Yeah, you can go meet and these people. So of course, you have to walk by using the bicycle is the best. By bike and bike never work.
Since you also said that it's like more of like lesser IQ, that's the only criterion. It's not like mentally retarded as such.
But I for my personal information, I collected all kind of disability, deaf, hearing impaired, all kind of disability. And 157, they are directly intellectual disability, I found. And during that time, I was thinking, I think there is a huge demand. I think it's the right place to initiate my project. I got a call from the land owner. He called me, sir, do you remember this day? I said, why I need to remember this day? And he said, this is the day we signed an agreement. It's 4 months already over. And he said, you have to pay the balance money. And if you are not paying, then I will sell this land to someone else. And someone who is ready to give more money for the same land which I given the advance. And I tried to explain, but he is not convinced. I went to home, I begged actually. And finally, he said, okay, I need around nearly $15,000 because he's a farmer, he wants to buy the tractor. If he give me the $15,000, then I hold this land for you. Otherwise, I sell the land to someone else. If he sell this land to someone else, then I lose the money which I paid already as the $10,000 as an advance money. Such a critical position. And he given me a 10 days target. Within the 10 days, $15,000 is impossible, I know. But I said, okay. Then I wrote a mail to the people and I called everyone and I checked with the people whoever can help me. So many people I approached in the whole 10 days, I never slept, never ate, and I travel all over the in Pondicherry, meeting the people, family, friends, whoever I know, I call them. And one of my friend is a scientist working in Japan. Whenever he come to India, he always invite me, a Tamil person in some Pondicherry. And he called me, "Karthik, why don't you go for a dinner?" I said, "I don't need food, I need money." And he said, okay, come. And then I went for a dinner. After a long time, I have a good dinner. And after our dinner, and his wife, she gave me a check. And the amount is written $8,000, single check. And they said, "We know what you are doing. We believe in it." Actually, this money they kept as a fixed deposit. And they said, "Instead of keeping this money in the bank, better to give to you, then many people can get benefit." And everyone who added the little money cannot believe. On the ninth day evening, I gave more than $15,000 to the man. It happened. Of course, the story is not end. I need to give the balance money of nearly $40,000, actually. And then the second story starts when I was during my travel time. I went to the Netherlands in Amsterdam, probably the capital city. One of my friend, she invited me during when I was traveling in before I initiated the project. I went to Netherlands in beginning of 2013, and we were walking in the canal float in the in Amsterdam canal. And an old man was looking at me, "Are you from India?" I said, "Yes, I'm from India." And we had a long conversation, and he said, "I'm very much in love with your country. I like every year visiting your country, what you are doing." And I did my dream pitch in the canal in Amsterdam. And he is very happy about my dream and everything. And he said, "Oh, maybe next year I visit your country. Why don't you pick up me and show your project?" Then I got a mail. "Karthik, do you remember we met in Amsterdam? I'm planning to visit your country this year. So can you come and pick up me from the Chennai airport, then show your project?" No car, no money, nothing in my hand. But I wrote, "I will come and pick up you." Then I approached some of friends. I borrowed the car. I borrowed the money for the fuel. I went to the airport. I brought him to the land. And the land was empty, nothing. We don't have even access to reach the land. And I show him, his name is Kofi Annan. "Kofi Annan, look at this. Here we're going to start our school. Here we're going to training center. Here we're going to have a community. Here we're going to plant and everything." And he looked at Karthik. "I cannot see anything on the land." "One day it will come," I said. And after the incident, he said, on the way back, he said, "Do you have any proposal? Do you know how much money do we need to purchase this land? How much money you already paid and everything?" I told all the story, and I asked me if he have a written proposal. Then I said, "Okay, I can print." And I printed and hand over to him. I totally forgot about this incident. So everything over. And then I had a big problem with the landowner, because it's a time already 7 months is gone, and he started again. "I need more money now, I need the balance money." It's a big problem, issues happen. Then one day I got a mail, and in the mail they mentioned, "Our director who visited your organization, he very much impressed, so he sanctioned €45,000 for your project." I thought it's spam. Who wants to give €45,000 to me? And then I checked, who is this guy? Actually, this person is the director of the big funding agency in Netherlands. And I wrote back, "Why don't you reveal it?" And I said, "I know Karthik, you're doing good job. So have this money, buy the land and start your work." So miracles happen. And story is not end. It's continued. Then after the long struggle, I bought this land. And then I stand in front of the land with a big pride. Okay, now I have the land, I can start my project. An old woman from the village, and she looked at me and said, "I heard that you bought this land." I said, "Yes, what you are going to do, I'm going to do for me." And she said, "You are an idiot." "Excuse me, you are an idiot," actually, she said, in Tamil, actually, she said. And I said, "Why?" This land is not good for farming. It's completely unfertile, and there is no water. We are the people, we are migrating from here to get the job in the cities. Then you came from the city and you want to do farming. I'm never going to work on the land. And then I struggled not. I tried actually literally on the day, and then called again with my friend. Some of them were water scientists who are doing in the French Institute in Pondicherry. She's doing one Dutch girl again. She's doing a PhD in water management. I called her, and along with her professor, she came, and they did a survey on the whole land. And they basically, idea is to get the, some consultation, to get the expertise idea, how to regenerate the water level of the land to store the rainwater harvesting system. They came, they did the whole survey in the whole day, and one old man from the same village who was standing and keeping some house, and he very quietly watched all the incident. And after these people left, he called me and he asked, who are the people, what you are doing on this land? I said, they are the expert. They're going to help me how to regenerate the water level on this land. He asked, did they gave any ideas how you're going to do? I said, in a few days I will get an email, then I have to follow their instruction. He called me hand and walked again on the land, and he showed some of the water marks. You know, in a dry, in a rainy season, the water moves in one direction, and during the dry season, you can see it's a mark actually, the water moves in this direction. He asked me why the, when in particular place you have a water mark. Honestly, I don't have any answer on the day. And he said, this is the lowest part of your land. So it seems like a plain ground, but every land there is no, it, not a plain ground. It's always lowest point, highest and everything. So you have to make a water pond, some pond pond here. And he gave other, making a bonding soil system, he gave him many other techniques. You can't believe, after 4 days, I got a mail from the experts. Exactly same thing, what the old man told me on the same day. And I paid to the experts, and nothing paid to this old man. And afterwards, I never call any experts. I called the old, I mean, the grandma from the local villages. I get their traditional technique. That way the work started. And also, they told me this land is very good for growing millet. And then we started the millet growing, and it grew very well. That it gave me so much hope, and they thought, okay, something can grow. Millet.
Yes, how did you get the water?
Okay.
Sorry.
And that's another miracle. So the, as per the old man and from the experts' advice, I made a farm ponds actually different places. And I used the missionaries actually. I brought the JCP and every morning they make a big pond in the middle of the land. And one more technique what the old man suggested me, find if you have a termites mound on your land. And where you can dig a hole or bore well or the open well, you have to make it there. We found there was a termite mound in it, and we made a open well on it. We found the water underneath, and the farm ponds we created. The whole village came actually, and they all think that I'm stupid because making a, such a big farm ponds in the 9 acres land, and they all telling you are wasting your land. Why you are making such a big ponds on the land? And they said, no, it's for the rainwater harvesting. If it rains, then we can keep this water. And they said, you know how many years before we got the good rain, it never going to happen, we'll not get any rain and all the things. After 10 days, we got such a heavy rain, all my ponds are full. And they thought, I'm sure he is a God's man. So the other story, actually. But that way, we got the water. And for the millet, actually we don't need any water. We plow the land, saw the millet, it grew naturally. No fertilizer, no chemical, no compost, nothing. It's very naturally, very wildly it's grown actually. But that gave me so much hope. But in the meantime, when I was in Pondicherry, many parents were very closely associated with me. They heard that I initiated the project. So they brought the adult boys to the village, and I said, okay, here you have a land, so you can keep these boys. I said, you can see there is no hut here. Okay, even I am living under the tree actually, there is no place. And they themselves rented a house, and they started to pay the rent, they started to pay the food, not only for the boys, but also for me. And that way their parents started to support me to initiate the project in the beginning years. So it's all like a different blocks come together and built an organization. That way the whole story started. And after the big farm pond we created, we got so much mud actually. Then we decided, okay, let's build, we don't have a house on the land, let's build a mud house. That was our, that's our first mud house, and we built it and still exist where our members are living there. And we then later we constructed we try to keep it as much as possible the natural friendly houses. We try to get the material locally, the bamboo or the reapers or the water reeds, whatever is available on the land, we get it, and we constructed all the thatched roof houses, and we started to live on the land. And with the support of some donors, we got the solar panels, and using the solar energy, and also we have the biogas for our cooking. So as much as possible to use the natural energy, and along with our members who are working on the land, and the life transformation happening very naturally, amazingly. Of course, in last 4 years, I'm facing many challenges and still facing struggles many, but why still I'm keep on going, then I should talk about a person who really transformed from here to here actually. His name is Sendil. He's right now living at the Sisti village. I know him from his schooling. He was in a special school in Pondicherry. He completed the special school, and then he completed again the same thing, the vocational training in electrical work. And all the training program, he went back to the home, and they realized two of his elder brother, they got married, and they have a kids, and they're living independently. So he approached his mother, "I want to get married." And his mother said, "First of all, you are a person with mental disability. No one interested to get married. Even someone who got married you, how you can feed her? If you don't have a job, don't have a salary, how you can manage your life?" So he thought, if I have a job, then I can get married. That was his belief. So he roamed around all over Pondicherry, he checked if anyone can give a job. No one gave a job. So very much he upset with his family. He don't like the whole community. He started to live on the street, roaming around Pondicherry. And many times the police caught him for some reason, and he was in the prison. And then after they brought him to the court, and the judge realized he is a person with mental disability, why you arrested him, and so many stories began. And it's very hard for his mother to see all the situation, so she decided to admit in a home. But she admitted in a home for an aged kid, not for the disabled institution or not for the children institution, but the old age home. But if you go to the old age home, the most of them, they're 80 years, 90 years, they're just watching television, eating food and having a tablet and medical checkup. Imagine like a 25 years old young boy, such energetic boy, living among the group. He ran away from the home once, and they brought back twice, they brought back thrice, he ran away. So they decided to lock him in a room. Lock in the room. Because he's running away from the home. And they locked for 3 years until I get to know he's in a room. I heard the story from his mother, and she visited the village, and I asked, "Where is Sendil? Is my Sendil?" She said, "I admitted in a home for the aged people, and they never allowing me to see. Normally they locked in a room because he's running away, he's hyperactive, he's violent. And I know his behavior," and I said, "Let's go and bring here." They went, and they never allowed me to open the door, and they said, "No, it's very minor, we cannot allow you to open the door." And I said, "I'm a psychologist, I know him personally, he was my student, so let me open the door." And then again, after the long struggle challenges, and they said, "If something happened, I take the full responsibility, don't worry. Even if it hurt me, that's fine, I'll take the full responsibility." After all the conversation, I got the key, and I opened the door. And he was sitting in the middle of the room, and the room was completely dark with attached toilet. And he was sitting in like in a small stool with long hair, nails, and then such a, he became so tiny and with unusual behavior. And then I see so many food plates surrounded by him. And I asked the caretaker, "Why there are so many food plates? Normally they are sending the food under the door." So even nobody knows whether he's still alive or not. They're just sending the food and
that's called chair.
It happened. It's closed down, luckily. The home is closed down. And then they're sending under the door. I saw this some place with the balanced food a week before, a month before. The, every time they send the food, sometimes they send it back, otherwise it just left it in the room itself. His mother was standing next to me, so he unable to even to recognize his own mother. I just hold his hands and there we go, just he came along with me. He never reacted anything, and he had a very unusual behavior to touch his neck and shaking his neck again, and saliva secretes from his mouth, that's it. He never reacted, nothing. And with the sneezing continuously, I brought him to the village. We cut the hair, we shaved, and then cut the nail, and we bought the new dress for him. And I brought to the village and said, "Sandhil, it's your food. Do what you want." And he slowly walking on the land and slowly joined among the community. He never spoke even a single, spoke a single word. I thought he completely forgot to speak anything. I thought he cannot speak anymore. I brought him to the psychiatrist because he had the behavior of touching his neck very harshly, and the psychiatrist thought he may try to commit suicide because he was alone many years in the room. That maybe created the behavior to touch his neck. But nobody knows for what reason he was touching his neck and sneezing continuously. Honestly, we did no treatment, no therapy, but let him do what he wants in his life among with the nature. That's what I did. And you know how it worked. It was in 2015, my 16, my birthday, and everyone organized a birthday party, surprisingly without my knowledge. And we were sitting under the tree, and everyone, first time, we have a circle meeting every time, every Saturday afternoon we have a circle meeting. On my birthday we have a special circle, and everyone sitting under the tree, and the first time he came to the circle. That was my very big thing actually. And everyone were talking about, and they were wishing on my birthday. On his turn, he stood up. And he said, Karthik told me we should not waste our food and we should not put plastic on our land. That's the sentence he spoke after 3 years. That's the biggest gift ever in my life I got. We asked him actually. Then we realized he could speak. He has a grasping capacity. He listened what we are telling. So many things changed in his life. And another incident with him, it was heavy rain, and one boy was watering to the plant. And I looking at who is that boy who was watering the plant in the heavy rain, that was Sandhil. And I checked, "What are you doing? It's raining." "No, no, it's my duty." But he's such a commitment, such an energetic boy, and he spoiled 3 years in his life. Now you can say that now he is the one who making the all natural compost, and he can explain to the people who over visit our village, he explain how to make it, how to spray it, what the plant is, what, from the plant what you get and everything, verbally. So, the boy still keep on motivating, not only him, and we have the around 20 people with the special skills who are living along with the 10 supporting staff like me. We are 30 people who are living on the land, and the average on 3 to 5 volunteers, 35 people who are living here. And also we initiated the special school because there is no other school or training center surrounded by the village. And right now around 21 younger kids who are from 3 to 15 years who are visiting our every day, or who are getting the special education and training from our organization. Totally 41 direct beneficiary on the land, and along with the staff we are living at the Sistri village. Now luckily we got a support from the one organization. We are starting to build a farm school to teach the people who are children with a disability all the skills through farming. So we are writing a curriculum how we can teach them all the skills whichever required and everything through farming. With animals, we have the animals, like we started a dairy farm, and we have a dogs, we have a chicken, we have a ducks, we have a rabbit. So it's all beautifully integrated in a small land, and everyone we are living on the land. That's very brief about Sistri village. Anytime you are most welcome to visit, and you can stay and live in our community. But unlimited is one of the biggest supporter in 2014 when I was initiated. Like now they can't see, before it was Unlimited, who incubated, who helped me to create a network, to mentoring. Basically, I'm a psychologist, right? And I have a non-profit organization management skill and other challenges to how to handle the staff, how to raise money, some other, you know, when you want to start in a social a social project, you only focus on the social project. But then naturally become a leader. As a leader, you need other skills, communication skill, fundraising skill, you know, problem solving skill. But unfortunately, when we initiate your project, your complete focus on the cost. We don't have any other skills to manage, tackle all the problem. There, the mentoring program, I think it's very important, like Unlimited RBC, who supported how to manage, how to balance all these issues. I'm very grateful to Unlimited and Heist and Varada team who supported in 2014 and 2015. Later on, step by step, we established further. So, that's about Srishti Village. Thank you very much for listening.